Let's pray together before I begin. Lord, thank you for your word, your timeless word, a word that has much to teach us today. Help us, Lord, to have hearts and minds that are open to hear you speaking today and a willingness to respond, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week we've moved to the time in the church's year where we're in the season of Epiphany. And in some ways it's just a continuation of the Christmas season, when we particularly think today about the journey of the Magi. Now the word Epiphany these days tends to be used to describe a moment of what you might call sudden revelation, where we become conscious of something, have an understanding of something in a new way, something that's really important. And one way of translating the word epiphany is as manifestation or appearance. And in the church's year, it's the time when we particularly celebrate the fact that the one who had been born as the King of the Jews, as we heard in the reading today, is also the one that brings hope to the Gentiles. Or in other words, that Jesus was indeed good news for all people. Now, the Magi were known as people of wisdom, of learning. They studied the stars and planets in particular. And while those who visited Jesus brought three gifts, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, it doesn't necessarily mean that there were three of them, and they certainly weren't kings. And that's led some people to retitle that well-known Christmas carol, "We Three Kings of Orient Aren't." I have to confess that I find it difficult to read this passage, listen to this morning's passage, without a particular image flashing into my mind, and my clicker's not working again. Sadly, William, or maybe for his sake, is in the work with children this morning. Those of you who were at our nativity service just before Christmas or have been along in former years will remember William very well in the role of Herod. And in some ways, I think it would be easy to dismiss his portrayal a bit as the sort of pantomime villain. But I think what he managed to capture so brilliantly is the drama of that situation, of what's going on. This Herod is Herod the Great, a ruthless and paranoid tyrant who couldn't be trusted and who himself trusted no one. So for him, knowing that another king had been born was a threat, someone who might interfere with his power, his position, and his lifestyle. He claims in the passage that we've heard that he himself wants the chance to go and worship Jesus. But he's too lazy and self-centered to journey the 5 or so miles to do so. And in the verses that follow on from the passage that we heard Judy read, when he realises that, in a sense, he's been tricked, that the Magi are not going to return to him as he wanted them to, he gives orders that all boys of age 2 or under in and around Bethlehem be killed. He won't tolerate rivals. And he's prepared to go to the most extreme lengths to make sure that his position is safeguarded. As I reflected on today's passage and thought more widely about the whole of the Christmas story that we've been reflecting on in recent weeks, in a sense, I think it has all the sort of major ingredients that you would expect from a typical blockbuster movie. And there were two particular words that really stood out to me. And again, my clicker's not working. And they were adventure and risk. We see that, I think, embedded in the whole of the Christmas story. We see it particularly in a number of really important journeys that are part of that story. Joseph and Mary traveling something like 100 miles over rugged ground from Nazareth to Bethlehem because Caesar Augustus has decreed that a census will be taken. The shepherds out in the fields being visited by angels, hearing the dramatic news that Jesus has been born and going from their fields to Bethlehem to see him. Mary and Joseph taking the baby Jesus to the temple to consecrate him to God as a firstborn male. Then the Magi, the journey that we've heard about this morning, traveling hundreds of miles over a considerable time to worship this new king. And then as the story rolls on, Mary and Joseph traveling a very significant distance to Egypt to escape Herod's attempts to kill the infant Jesus. I think particularly for a moment of the Magi and how others might view their situation. What do their work colleagues think of these people who were prepared to risk their income and their reputation heading off to follow some strange star? Probably their family and friends felt a sense of abandonment, fearing maybe that they would never see them again. And the Magi themselves track hundreds of miles across deserts and rivers, facing potentially hostile tribes, the risk of being killed or captured and taken into slavery. And they've been commissioned by a fearsome king, whose reputation I'm sure they knew. And they knew the dire consequences of getting on the wrong side of him. And yet, despite all that, they were prepared to follow the prompting that God had given them. They felt compelled to do something which, in so many ways, in a human sense, made no sense. For them, that was adventure and risk, big time. But we also see it, I think, in the lives of several of the key characters in the Christmas story, as they have to come to terms with seeing the world, or seeing their world, in very different terms to what they've been used to. Teenager Mary, visited by an angel, that tells her not only will she have a child, but that he will be the saviour of the world. Her husband, Joseph, who has to get his head round the idea that the love of his life is pregnant and it's nothing to do with him. And then there's also Elizabeth, who is to give birth to John the Baptist. John the Baptist being the one who pointed the way to Jesus. And Elizabeth is to give birth despite her advancing years and having previously been barren. Each of these folk, and many more in the Christmas story, had huge things to try to take on board. Just imagine what life was like for Mary from day to day, the growing reality of her pregnancy, having to cope with how others reacted to it, having to learn to trust God every step of the way. For each of these people, obedience to God and following his way was hugely costly, bringing change and uncertainty. That's all about adventure, but it's also all about risk. So as we set out on a new year, what sort of year do I hope for, do we hope for? Would we prefer to settle for what we know, content to rest in the comfort that we know, in what's familiar? Or are we prepared to seek new adventures with God? Will we be cautious and risk averse, keeping our heads well below the parapet? Or are we prepared to be open to God, ready to respond to his prompting and calling, ready to step out in faith, even when to our minds we don't understand or it seems to be counterintuitive? Are we open to the possibility that God might be calling us to new things this new year, that he may expect more of us? Do we want to end 2023 the same people that we are at the beginning? Or do we want to grow and develop and discover more of the life in all its fullness that Jesus promised to us? The author and pastor John Ortberg said this, which may come on the screen, yeah. The decision to grow always involves a choice between risk and comfort. This means that to be a follower of Jesus, you must renounce comfort as the ultimate value of your life. I wonder if that speaks to you and your situation this morning. And I sense that the older we become, the greater the chance that we lose something of our sense of adventure. Life gets complicated. We pick up more and more responsibilities. Our physical levels of energy can decrease. And sometimes we have to cope with the challenges of poorer health. And it's tempting when that's our situation to want to settle for what we have, for what we know, and to, in a sense, resist anything that upsets our normal pattern of life. But I want to encourage myself this morning to hold on to or to rediscover a real sense of adventure in life, of adventure with God. To believe that God still has so much more for each of us to know of him and to do for him. And to step out and discover it. William Penn of Pennsylvania in America, the founder of that province, said this: the adventure of the Christian life begins when we dare to do what we would never tackle without Christ. Knowing Jesus brings new responsibilities, brings new opportunities, brings, I think, adventure. So let me just suggest just two ways in which we might look for or experience adventure in the coming year. First of all, an adventure in worship. That was essentially what the Magi did. That was their adventure. They went above everything else to worship the infant Jesus. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. But what then is worship? There are lots of ways of defining it, but I think of a lot of it is to do about the gradual process of surrendering the whole of our lives to God, placing all that we are and all that we have in his hands. But why would we want to do that? Why would we want to give up the control that we think we have and place our trust in someone else? I think a simple answer is because that's God's plan. That's the way that God designed it. Another quote from the pastor John Piper. God wants every person on the planet to worship him. Not because he's an egomaniac who needs our praise, but because worship is how we are designed by God. So if that's God's plan for us, how much we need to explore that to discover it. But okay, what does that look like? What might that look like in very practical terms? Well, for some of us, it might mean getting back to or even getting into for the first time the idea of spending regular time reading and studying God's word. That's something that Dan last week encouraged us to think about as we begin a new year. It's when we look into God's word, we find out more about what he wants us to be like, what he's like, what's important to him. And we have the chance to shape the way that we think and the way that we live. And the more that we do that, again, the more in turn that we discover the life in all its fullness that God intends for us. For some of us, worship this year might mean rediscovering the wonders of prayer, the privilege of prayer, of talking to God, of listening to him, of reminding ourselves that the very creator of the universe is also our friend and savior, the one who we can share a relationship with. So God's word comes alive still today. Prayer is real today. So let's rediscover something of the sense of excitement and adventure as we come to those two things anew this year. And a second idea to encourage us, to inspire us in adventure this year, is embarking on an adventure of service. I love being a part of a church family here, which I think has understood what serving God is all about. People who have a heart to serve and to make that happen in practical ways for God, that God is calling us to do. When we live in a world where people know so little about God, where people lack direction and purpose, where so many live with anxiety and misplaced priorities, people are crying out for the gospel. People need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sarah being here this morning is a reminder to us that that's true across the world. There are still so many millions and millions of people who have not heard the good news. We can't rest easy with that situation. So how open am I? How open are you to serving God in new ways this year? Do you have a passion that's stirring in you that you would like to see through? Maybe some new way that we as a church could be reaching out to our local community, and you could be the inspiration in that. Do you have a friend who you've been thinking about inviting along to the Alpha course, but probably haven't quite got round to it yet? Maybe this next couple of weeks is a chance to exercise a little bit of a risk and ask them about that. God will continue, I believe, to work through the ways that we already serve him. But is he calling us also to risk new things as well? So, in a sense, in summary, am I happy to settle for what's comfortable and secure? Or are we up for some new adventures this year? Think again of the Magi, how long it would take them, what they would face along the way. But they were compelled by an overwhelming sense that they needed to worship the King of the universe. So I think my prayer for us as we begin a new year is that we will have the courage to surrender our lives afresh to God and set out with him on some fresh and exciting adventures. One of the saints of old, Saint Augustine, said this: "To fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek him, the greatest adventure. To find him, the greatest human achievement." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the new year that lies before us, for all the responsibilities and opportunities that you lay before us. And we pray that you'll help us to approach the new year with a real sense of hope and expectation, ready to step out with the new adventures that you have for us, ready to take new risks for you, confident that we go with a Saviour who loves us, who has forgiven us, who equips us, and who will walk each step of the way with us. Thank you, Lord, for those promises. Amen.